Christmas, everybody. It's the Infamous Podcast.
And happy holidays. Sorry, I was in a moment with myself.
You had a senior moment.
It wasn't a senior moment. It was a moment where I was talking to myself.
You were very excited about the holidays. Don't lie. Anyway, hey guys, Brian, Johnny, we are here with you for episode 23 of the show. This is crazy. Can you believe we've done 23 episodes of this stuff?
That's crazy.
So
you've done 23 plus all the interviews, right? Yeah.
So I think it's at 29 total, actually.
How do you feel about that?
You know,
are you tired yet?
I'm gonna put this on my best of podcast list. So
hey, there you go.
The Infamous Podcast. It's on my best of list for the end of the year. Anyway,
so I have a short podcast list, but hey, I can name a couple that I like.
Actually, I have a couple that we can talk about that at the end. But so you know, this episode 23. This is everything that we've considered certified infamous for 2015.
Obviously, some of it we've talked about, so we're just going to reference back to episode numbers.
But it's exciting. This has been a great year.
Yeah,
A lot of really, really cool stuff. So you have your list in front of you?
Oh, yeah, I do. Okay. That might have been when I was having a conversation with myself about
looking over it. Okay, so I have both lists up here on the screen, kind of. Why don't we start with movies?
Yeah.
It seems like a natural way to go. So we'll do movies, then TV shows, and, you know, as always, we'll end with comic books, because without comic books, most of these things on our list.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so let's just kind of do a back and forth.
Sure, yeah.
We have some crossover, a little less than normal.
Yeah, you have what you only did 5 or 6.
Yeah, so my intention was to do it.
I was going to say, you were...
And then you roll in with, you know, 10 picks.
I come big.
You came with it for sure. Okay. So is this no particular order?
No particular order. I just literally
no particular order.
Mine was just go down a list and pretty much, like, you know, everything on the list I liked, some I liked more than others.
Right.
So, and I even wrote that on my notes. So
all right, so leading off then, Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us have it on our list.
Oh yeah.
For me, this was my favorite movie of the year.
Okay.
I've watched it probably 4 or 5 times now.
I haven't had the time, but if I had the time.
Well, you also sleep.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah.
I make up for that with watching movies. I loved the hell out of this movie. It was great to see George Miller back behind the wheel. I think Tom Hardy has proved in these, like, non-speaking action-y type roles is where he really succeeds.
Yeah. It's funny knowing that Tom Hardy was Patrick Stewart's clone in Star Trek Nemesis.
Yeah.
And then being where he is today, it's like, you look at him and you look at pictures of him from that era and then look at him now and you're like, this is an actor who's really grown.
Yeah. And he doesn't even look like the same
person. Yeah, he doesn't look like the same person. I mean, literally, he's bulked up and, you know, looks like a guy you don't want to meet in a dark alley.
No. No. We're walking out of a pub.
Exactly. Yeah.
But no, so I thought this movie was great. It told a great story. Charlize Theron
was really good.
Was amazing. It might, like, I don't know if the Oscar nominations have been out yet.
I don't think so. I think it's just Golden Globes at this point.
If she doesn't get nominated for an Oscar for this role,
it's a travesty.
And then, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, this seems to be the one where everybody's like, this needs more than just nominations for special effects and sound and all that type of stuff. I mean, I would hope that maybe George Miller would actually get nominated.
Best director.
Yeah. This movie looked beautiful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just, you know, it shot beautifully.
It wasn't,
I mean,
a ton of
seamless
CG.
Effects.
A lot of practical seamless effects.
Oh, yeah. This was the year of practical effects.
It really, really was. We've talked about Mad Max on the show before.
Yeah.
We love it. It's great. It's really rewatchable.
I'm looking forward to the next three. They said that Tom's Hardy signed for 3 more, so. Okay. It's like the next one's called Wastelands is what they're saying now. So I'm like, cool. Let's see where we're going to go from here.
Definitely see. And, you know, like, I think it's one thing where, like, Max has to be, like, the glue that holds the franchise together.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, maybe we don't have Furiosa in every one of them to make that just
I would think she could show up eventually again.
Right.
But I don't think she should show up in the next one. Just for the fact that, you know, he left. Yeah. He left. Yeah, so he it's took like, off.
And she's leaving a Morbid Joe's compound.
Right. Okay. So yeah, it's going to be one of those things where I think it would be cool to see her show up again, but not right away.
Yeah. All right. So what's on your list? I think your second one was the same
as yours. Same as yours, Star Wars Force Awakens, yeah, which we talked about.
If you haven't listened to our review, it's up on iTunes, it's on the website.
Yeah,
it's on
Stitcher, well, just posted it this week. So.
We posted it on Tuesday. I've seen it twice. You've seen it once. I've been doing nothing but thinking about this movie all week.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go see it again.
I finally picked up a couple of the books because it's like, you know, they were making sure nothing got released beforehand. So I found a really cool book that is called Rey Survival Guide.
Oh, cool.
And it literally is written like a journal. Okay. And it has sketches in it and that. So I'm looking forward to reading that, and I'll probably talk about it at some point in the future.
Yeah.
It looks like it's supposed to be a young adult novel, but I was like, I don't care, so...
Yeah, I picked up Star Wars Before the Awakening.
Yeah, I picked that up too.
And then I picked up Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Smuggler's War or Run or whatever it's called.
Is that the Greg Rucka?
Smuggler's
Han Han Solo story?
Greg Rucka with Han.
Yeah.
So I grabbed both of those. Those were the two I was most interested in.
Sure.
The first one is little backstory. Not back issue. Comics on the Brain. Backstory of Poe, Finn, and Rey.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, the three most interesting characters, outside of Kylo. I've just been...
Yeah, Kylo's story, I don't see them telling until the next movie, at least.
I feel like if they don't tell Kylo's story, for the most part, on the screen, people will miss it.
Right.
And they'll go see the movies and they'll complain. I don't know, I just kind of love the hell out of it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I put it right up there with Empire. Just below Empire, for sure.
Yeah.
On par with Star Wars.
Yeah, I was gonna say that probably ties with the first Star Wars movie.
So, you know, and I've seen a lot of people like, well, they just retold it. It's like, no, they really didn't.
There wasn't. There was elements of it because of the fact that, you know, JJ, like he did with Star Trek, he did tips of the hat to the fans,
right?
And that was fine. It wasn't an exact retelling. I mean, you know, it wasn't the same movie.
No.
I mean,
I saw some shitty fan calling it a reboot. It's like, are you kidding me?
Reboot.
They didn't reboot anything.
That's because JJ is infamous for the Star Trek reboots. But
so speaking of JJ, just real quick, and to do with this, kind of what makes me love this movie even more is I watched Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness this week. And he's grown up so much as a filmmaker. Like, I felt like the overuse of lens flare and things like that, it was just really immature on his
part. Right.
This was a much more just mature level of filmmaking from him.
Right.
I don't know if you saw Super 8.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It's been a long time, but
really disliked that movie. Great.
Now, did he direct that though? Sure, I thought Spielberg directed that.
I don't know, but I know he was involved with it, and
yeah,
it was just very.
Well, I really like the Kyle Chandler. I read an interview this week with Greg Grunberg. They're best friends. I mean, they've known each other since they were kids and that. But he said that he had been talking to JJ about the next one, and JJ's like wishing that he would have directed
after reading the script.
Yeah,
I think that's
a compliment to what's coming. Yeah. So you know,
but yeah. So go see The Force Awakens.
Listen to the review after you go see it because
we spoil the hell out of it.
Yeah,
which you know we it's really hard to accidentally listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
So, and if you're in the car with someone who hasn't seen it, turn that off. All right. So, what's next?
What do you have next?
I have The Martian.
I do have The Martian on my list too.
Which did you read the book?
Yeah, I've read the book right around the movie.
You told me to read the book before we seen the movie. And then, so I just watched the movie the other day because it's up on iTunes.
Sure.
So I watched it again. Holds up great. Holds up to multiple viewings.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a Ridley Scott movie. I mean, there's not many Ridley Scott movies where you're like, it doesn't hold up.
And when we talked about it earlier this year.
Episode 12.
Whatever, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I wrote down the episode. So, yeah.
Because I have no idea. I listened to it all and it just becomes
noise. Sure. Yeah.
but it was Ridley Scott back to form.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really great to see. And, you know. Again, if they're throwing out like Oscar nominations,
I do think this one will probably get a few nominations.
Maybe not Best Picture.
I don't see Best Picture, but I see Ridley getting Best Director.
I think Matt Damon deserves a role. I think
Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, for supporting. Yeah. I think Jessica Chastain for supporting.
Yeah, yeah.
Would be in the supporting category.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there wasn't really a lead actress per se. But no, this was a great one. It's fun. I'm glad they cut out that big chunk of the book that they cut out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they put the epilogue at the end.
Right.
That wasn't in the book. So it felt... It felt like a complete story.
Right, yeah.
All right. So what do you have next?
Jurassic World.
Okay. I do not have Jurassic World. I love Jurassic World. It's probably my top 10.
Yeah.
I've seen it probably like 4 times now.
Okay.
The kid bought, that was her favorite movie of the year. And yeah, it's just, I love it. I really, really liked it. And I'm looking forward to Tolanowski. I don't know how to say his last name. The director.
Yeah, I don't.
Directing episode 9, you know, so.
Right.
No, it's super rewatchable. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I like dinosaurs. So, you know, it's one of those things where it was just fun to go back into that world and see it. Yeah. You know, it's the same as Star Wars. It's fun to go back and visit that world a few years later.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing I really liked about it is they recognize the past 20 years.
Yeah.
Past, and, you know, all the incidents that they've had with, you know, Jurassic Park, The Lost World, Jurassic Park 3, and now, you know, the disaster they caused. So, yeah, it's fun. It was a good movie.
I'll be curious to see where they go with the next one.
Yes. I think, you know, it just solidified Chris Pratt as, like, one of the top box office guys.
He's an action movie guy now.
He absolutely is. So
with a comedic twist.
Yeah. I mean, Owen was a really cool character.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah, and Jessica Chastain's clone, or right, it's funny because it's like, you know, that those two girls look
well, they're like Amy Adams and Isla Fisher.
Yeah,
you can just interchange them with each other.
I want to see them in a movie together.
That would be fun.
Not playing sisters.
They can be like rivals for the same guy.
Oh
yeah, gets confused about which one he's with from time to time. That would be pretty
trademark. Funny. Trademark. So,
like, no, I mean, like, Jessica Chastain, just real quick. I mean, she was great in Interstellar.
Yeah.
She was great in this. Interstellar was a good one this year. I didn't put it in my top, like, anything.
Was that this year or last year?
It was. It was this summer.
Oh, wow.
So.
Wow.
I know. But it's such a long movie that it's like, oh.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So, what do you have next?
Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Oh, yeah. That was a great one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a good adaptation of a comic book. You know. It's a Mark Millar story.
Mark Millar world.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's awesome. Sam Jackson was a great villain once again. A different kind of villain.
Yeah, it was very different. Yeah. The kid that played Eggsley was awesome.
Yeah, Colin Firth. First action movie, and he hit the gate, man.
Runs out running. Mark Hamill, you know,
it's like, I wish they would have done the Mark Hamill in that movie what they did to him in the comic book. It would have been more fun.
It would have been more fun, but this was still
pretty Yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then Mark Strong, who we've talked about
before. Oh, yeah.
Was great.
Yeah.
It's always fun to see him. You know, if they were ever to, like, revisit Green Lantern, let's just do a Sinestro movie.
I was going to say, if they do revisit Green Lantern, which they are obviously going to do, they've had their Sinestro. They could just bring him back in as Sinestro.
Oh yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you have next?
So next we both actually have we both have Ant-Man. So which is
the Well, movie. I put Ant-Man. I bundled this stuff.
You packaged a few things.
Yeah.
I loved Ant-Man.
Yeah.
It was very much like the first Iron Man movie. It was a small, self-contained story that had a lot of heart, that had a lot of character, and, you know, I'm 100% biased because Paul Rudd is one of my favorite actors.
Well, the cool thing was the Ant-Man movie, kind of similar to the Netflix Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Everything's happened. Everything's going on there.
They acknowledge it, but
it doesn't.
Take a step further where they went to the Avengers.
Comic. Right, yeah. I mean, unlike the Netflix stuff, they could step it, you know, knock it up a few notches and bring in an Avenger or two.
Real quick with the Netflix stuff, please go back and CGI the Stark Tower / Avengers Tower into the New York skyline, please. Because it is a glaring omission.
I thought it was in Daredevil. I'm pretty sure it's in Daredevil.
Well, I mean, in Jessica Jones, she's staring out at the New York skyline where it should be.
Yeah.
And it's not there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I bundled that with Avengers Age of Ultron, which I liked, but I didn't like as much as Ant-Man.
I liked Avengers Age of Ultron. I've liked it better on subsequent viewings.
Yeah. Yeah. The second time around, it was okay. But the thing... So, I've been an Avengers fan for a long time. So, the thing with Ultron was kind of... I don't know. Disengaging to me as a fan. Problems
with it.
Yeah.
Ultron being too sarcastic.
Yeah.
Ultron not being menacing.
Too much Tony Stark Ultron and not Ultron Ultron. Right. You know, so...
That's why it didn't make my list.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay, so the next one I have that I know isn't on your list is one of my favorite films of the year, is Ex Machina.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
Which has Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah.
I think that's how you say his first
name. I think so.
You know, Poe Dameron and General Hux, for you Star Wars fans. It's about AI. I've shared before my fear of computers taking over. And I've also shared that I will sell every last one of you bleepers out to our robot overlords.
Nice.
So, anyway, no, this is a great one. It deals with, you know, what is intelligence? What is a soul? What is, you know,
right, kind
of like that whole existential crisis.
The thing that always comes up in robot stories, android stories,
right,
is do you really have a soul?
Do androids?
I mean, it goes back to what, The Outer Limits.
Mm-hmm.
The very first episode? The Leonard Nimoy was in the episode. I can't remember the name. Was it iRobot?
I think so. And then but you go even further back to, you know, the day the Earth stood still.
Well, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
You could honestly go back to Frankenstein a way, because I mean, the androids come out of the whole Frankenstein story.
And this is very much a Frankenstein's monster,
right,
type of story.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if you haven't seen this movie, it's a must-watch
in
2016. You know, and if you're home over Christmas break, I think it's like $7.99 on iTunes right now. Go buy it.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. I just haven't watched it yet, but it's on there.
So you should watch it tonight.
Yeah.
After you watch Die Hard, which...
I already have.
Yeah.
We're not getting off track here, obviously. It's Christmas time. So I did Action Movie Saturday Christmas and watched Die Hard and Lethal Weapon back-to-back. And there's a lot of crossover actors in those movies.
There really are. All right, so then next up, what do you have?
Inside Out.
Okay, which I saw this as well.
This was probably my least favorite of everything that I have on my list.
Okay.
But I liked it.
It was fun.
I haven't seen it again since it's come out on, you know, it's been out for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
On iTunes. Yeah. I haven't watched it again, but, you know, I still talk to people about it because I do think that it's a good movie.
It is.
I think that it is more swayed toward females and toward younger girls in
which
a way.
Is fine.
I totally got it.
I mean, having a daughter, a young daughter,
yeah,
like watching her enjoy the movie was almost as enjoyable as
And,
the movie,
you know, so. Watching the parents and watching their emotions is like, you know, I totally got it. The end credits sequence is worth the whole movie
with all the different
wasn't one that had a lot of laughs in it. I mean, there were laughing moments.
It was like a dramedy.
Yeah, it was more. Yeah, it was more on the drama side. But the end, I cried at certain points in the end because it was so funny. Yeah.
Very much like what was it? Up, was that the name?
Yeah,
The balloons and Carl. It was very much in that vein where it's not meant to be a comedy. It's meant to really be like...
And it's, I mean, it's really well done. Yeah, really well done.
And Phyllis from The Office as Sadness is just perfect voice casting. So, all right. And then just my last one, because I think you have a couple more, is one I just watched.
Yeah.
Creed.
Yeah, you told me you really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so...
Is it a good continuation of the Rocky story, I guess?
It very much is. Very much so is. And it's very much like Rocky.
Okay.
It really is.
Like first Rocky.
Yeah, there's the parallel.
Guy coming up from the streets.
Well, yeah, and so, like, so Adonis, Donnie, is what he goes by in the movie for the most part.
So Apollo named his kid Adonis?
No, he's Apollo's illegitimate son.
Oh.
Like, he never met Apollo.
I like that.
And so the movie opens with this little boy. He's in a group home getting into a fight.
That's cool.
And then Felicia Rashad
is
playing Marianne this time.
Oh, okay.
And she comes and she actually adopts Apollo's illegitimate
son.
Yeah. And, you know, it jumps ahead a few years. He's grown. It's Michael B. Jordan.
Right.
He's working for an investment firm. I mean, he's been to college, but like, you know, he's going down to Tijuana to box every night because he lives in L.A.
Okay.
And then he gets to the point where he is like, this is all I want to do. I want to be a fighter.
Right.
He goes to Duke's gym, run by Duke's son, from the guy who originally trained Apollo.
Right. Yeah.
The guy's like, no, I'm not going to train you. You know, no, and no one in L.A. will train you.
Right.
And so he hops on a plane and flies to Philly and, you know.
Finds Rocky.
Moves out of, you know, the lush Creed mansion. You know, yeah. Like Creed did well with his money. Marianne did well with
sure,
him.
Yeah.
You know, and he tracks, he goes there specifically to find Rocky.
Right.
Tracks him down. And, like, they start this just really nice relationship. Like, you know,
Now, is Rocky running Mick's gym at this point, Rocky, or is he still running the restaurant still?
He
okay.
He wants nothing to do with the gym. He actually wants nothing to do with Adonis.
Okay.
I don't want to, like, spoil the
yeah, yeah, I don't want to know everything, him, but...
But the first scene where Adonis shows up at the restaurant, it's heartbreaking, and Sylvester Stallone did such a good job.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this. They touch on Adrian's death. They touch on Polly's death. Okay.
Oh, so at this point, Polly's dead, too.
Polly's died.
Okay.
Which isn't a spoiler or anything, but right. Rocky gets sick. And, you know,
sure, I mean, like, you know gets... The good thing about Sylvester Stallone as an actor and a writer, you know, and a director is that he's been smart enough over the years that he knows he's getting older and he acknowledges it in his stories.
Yeah.
It's like some actors don't do that. Some actors just, you know, keep going and going and don't acknowledge that, hey, you're an older guy. Yeah. And it's like, you know, with him, he's written stories that are really good, but he acknowledges it. I mean, Rocky Balboa was awesome.
And they touch on Robin having left Philly, you know, whatever, Rocky Jr.
Right.
And moving, he's in Vancouver now.
So okay,
they
cool.
They talk about him a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, this is very much like the torch being passed. I think Michael B. Jordan would be getting more credit for this movie if it wasn't for the Fantastic Four this
year.
I think it just left, like, same with Kate Mara in The Martian. She was great.
Right, yeah.
I think that movie has left a stain on those four young actors.
Well, hopefully, you know.
I think Miles Teller will be the one who's affected the most.
Probably.
Because he was the most vocal and kind of the douchiest one of them all.
Right.
Most people don't know who Jamie Bell is, so I mean, that's not a
I mean, you probably know who Jamie Bell is, you just don't know who Jamie Bell is. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you've seen Jamie Bell in, what, Jumper, King Kong?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
But Snowpiercer.
Yeah, Snowpiercer.
All right, so...
Which is actually on my list.
Yeah, so just real quick to recap, so my movies are Mad Max, Star Wars The Force Awakens, The Martian, Ex Machina, Ant-Man, and Creed. And then you had
Mad Max, Star Wars, Jurassic World, Kingsman, Ant-Man, Avengers Age of Ultron, The Martian, and Inside Out.
And then you have two kind of bonus ones.
Yeah, I found actually one's because of one of my favorite podcasts. So, you know.
This podcast?
No, actually. Night of the Living podcast. Yeah. It's a horror podcast. They talked about a movie called The Babadook.
Right.
It came out last year. 2014. It's an Australian horror movie.
Yeah.
But it's not a normal horror movie. It's more of a psychological horror movie.
Yeah, you know, I've heard, like, mixed reviews on it.
It was good. I mean, it was, you know, if you can't stand whiny kids, don't watch it.
Okay.
Because there is a whiny kid in it.
A whiny kid,
right, so exactly. So, you know, it's just, you're just...
Yeah.
But the story and the lead actress, like, were really good. And at times you were questioning if it was really happening.
Oh, wow.
So it just is one of those movies where I'm like, yeah, I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would watch it again. I haven't watched it again, but it's one of those ones where I would probably go back and watch it again. The ending confirms a lot of stuff and then makes you go, did it really happen?
Yeah, I have to check that one out. And I got to check out that Trick or Treat one because it's on HBO now.
Yeah.
And then your other one was...
Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I saw that last year.
Yeah, people were talking about it and I was just like, you know, Chris Evans...
Yeah.
You know, I like Chris Evans, obviously, from Fantastic Four and Captain America.
Not another teen movie.
Yeah, you know, he's...
The Nanny Diaries, that's actually not a bad movie with him and Scott.
But he is on a train.
Yeah.
It's the future. The train's traveling through A Snowy World, that's Earth, and what, Jamie Bell?
Jamie Bell, Ed Harris, Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in this that you're like, oh, wow. The movie is very graphic at points where it's like, if you don't have the stomach for a lot of violence and a lot of, you know, gore.
It's a lot like Old Boy that way.
Yeah, yeah.
With if, like the original or the, the Josh Brolin remake. So if you've had trouble with those type of movies, there's parts you should probably
Fast forward. I mean, it's like kind of the Japanese horror genre in certain... So the Asian, I guess you would say at that point. A lot of stuff in there where you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
You're like, wow.
Well, and it asks a lot of questions about like class and systems and like, you know, can you move up or not? And Ed Harris is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Ed Harris. So. Yeah. When he shows up, it's like, okay.
Yeah. And then I actually had two that I found. They're both older. One was from, I want to say 2011. And the other was 2013-ish, I think. Both written and directed by Josh Radnor. Ted from How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
The first one's called Happy Thank You More, Please. And it's him and Malin Ackerman and Tony Hale and actually Kate Mara's end of the
movie. Oh, okay.
It's about this guy in New York. He's kind of a struggling writer. He finds his kid abandoned on the subway and just kind of like spends the next 3 days hanging out with him. And it's really interesting as how it affects his life and like draws him in. The other one is liberal education, I think is what it's called.
You have the internet in front of you.
Anyway, it's on Netflix. You can, but it's him and Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh wow! Okay.
And he's a book editor who's invited back to his Ohio college to speak about his favorite professor who's retiring.
Sure.
So yeah, and it's just really just like sweet tale. He meets Elizabeth Olsen, and you know they kind of start to have a romance, but like you know it doesn't really like they shouldn't have a romance.
Kind of. So these are kind of like recommend.
Yeah, they're very much slice of life. Yeah. Like they're both super independent. Yeah. Films. But yeah, I mean you can just look up Joshua Randall Radnor.
It's probably Radnor, isn't it? Yeah.
And I found about those by listening to You Made It Weird, the podcast by. Pete Holmes.
Okay.
So, yeah. The Nerdist Network. All right. So, on to TV shows.
On to TV.
So, I have one on here that has nothing to do with comics or like...
I have a few that have nothing to do with comics.
But, or like kind of genre at all. Like right. It's a comedy-ish show. Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was my number one new series of the year.
Okay.
So... Now, not all of these are new.
Right, yeah.
As far as the new series goes, Daredevil was number one. And you bundled again.
Yeah, I kind of, when it comes to stuff like Netflix or, you know, Marvel or something like that, or The Walking Dead, because I did it with The Walking Dead. But yeah, I have Daredevil and Jessica Jones on there. We talked about Jessica Jones on episode 18.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to go back and listen to that, check it out there. Daredevil... If you read any of the Brian Michael Bendis stuff, right. I mean, there's a lot of that in there.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I mean,
some of the Frank Miller
it's
stuff.
Cool to see the grit.
It is.
It is, you know, this is the Marvel Universe. It is tied to the cinematic universe, but it's cool to see the down and dirty people of the Marvel Universe.
The
you know,
everyday
the superheroes who aren't afraid to get the blood on their hands. And, you know, they're not fighting giant universal things. Right, they're taking care of the people on the streets.
It's kind
of
like what Ant-Man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That
I could see Ant-Man showing up on these series.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And just, you know, coming in, popping in, and then popping back out. But I can't remember what's the actor's name that played Matt Murdock?
Oh, Charlie Cox.
Charlie Cox, yeah. He was awesome.
For me, like, one of the breakout stars of the year.
Yeah. I mean, the only other thing I had ever seen him in was Stardust. So I was like, you know, didn't have any judge.
Yeah,
on him, but man, that fight scene in the first episode in the hallway.
The first episode where he was tracking down the kid. It might have been the
second episode where the fight in the hallway.
Yeah,
is just like so cool. Worth watching.
The introduction to Stick, who I think they nailed.
Scott Glenn was awesome.
Yeah, he was perfect. Right up to the end, the final fight with Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah,
was fantastic.
And you know we've seen Vincent as a villain before, but man, he was awesome.
So, the best Kingpin yet.
Yeah.
So I had Jessica Jones on my list as well.
Okay.
I think they warranted standing alone.
Yeah.
Bundling together, but
well, the only fact of bundling together is that they all will they will all be existing as defenders. They'll be the defenders, so you know.
Right.
I mean, it's been talked about, and we know it's coming, so it's like you know.
So
yeah, and I bundle stuff so I can talk about more.
Okay, so the next one on my list is actually Fargo.
Okay, yeah, I have not watched this.
So I was a big fan of the movie. Martin Freeman was in the first season.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the first season live. I actually, it just came up on Hulu like months ago. And I watched the 10, 13,
whatever. I think it's episodes, 10 episodes, 10 episodes,
in a weekend.
Yeah, it seems like... it seems like the type of show where
you just can't.
Yeah, like, you can't stop watching it.
And while I was watching that, season two was kind of already underway. I just watched season two over Thanksgiving break.
Okay.
It started.
And it's a different story from the first season, so, right?
The first story is like the early 90s, mid 90s.
Okay.
The second story is the late 70s.
Wow.
All right. And they talk about. Like in the first series, they talk about what happened in the Fargo movie. The first season was great.
Yeah.
The second season is amazing.
Okay.
Like,
And who's amazing. On the second season? I know Patrick Kirsten Wilson, Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst, Jesse yeah. Plemons.
Okay.
Ted Danson.
Wow.
Straight
from CSI to
Brooks,
Fargo.
What's his name? The black dude is so great with his character. But no, I mean, it's just like. It's not a bad, like, there's not a bad episode.
Yeah.
And, the Jeffrey, he was Michael Weston on Burn Notice.
I didn't watch.
Anyway.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
He's awesome as the bad guy. No, it's just a great show. It's totally worth watching. If you have the FX Now app, you can go binge them all, right, for the,
sure.
Right now, for the time being. Season one is all streaming on Hulu. So definitely check that out.
Bokeem Woodbine?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's amazing.
He's a really good actor.
He was so cool. He kind of dressed like a cowboy.
Really?
I equate his kind of finale part of it.
Yeah.
To Michael Chiklis's Vic Mackey in The Shield.
Okay.
Like he wanted something really bad, and it wasn't quite what he thought it was. But still really, really cool.
That's usually what happens in those type of stories.
So, and what did you have next?
Flash and Arrow.
Okay.
Which we talked about on episode 20.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously it's one of those ones that we talk about on a normal basis. So, you know, not a lot to say, just they keep getting better and better.
The Reverse Flash is coming back.
I seen that.
Which,
yeah.
Well, the, not Tom Cavanaugh's
Reverse Flash. Right. Yeah.
Matt
Lester.
Which should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where they go with that. I mean, and actually, what we're going to add a third one to it with the
Legends of Tomorrow
starting in January. So,
which will air on Thursdays.
Right. So they're going to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. Okay. You know, that's fine.
And apparently Vixen is now going to show up out of the animated
series. And it's the actress who played.
Which, when you and I had talked about, like, we weren't doing a podcast.
Right, at the time. And I haven't watched any of that.
And
so.
I haven't watched any of it either, but I said, hey, she looks like, and she's done some action stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if.
Megalyn Etcherello.
She's really pretty.
She was on the 4400.
Yeah.
And that. So that's where I know her from. And I'm like, okay, she was good on that. So, yeah, Vixen showing up will be pretty awesome.
And then I have one that I forgot to put on the list. The 100.
Yeah, you've been telling me I should watch that.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Nobody's safe on that show. It tells a really different, interesting story. You know, I'm a sucker for anything post-apocalyptic.
Sure, yeah.
Just the whole second season was really, really cool. Like,
okay.
The way the first season ended, it's like, how are they going to up this?
Yeah.
Like, and it's not like the first season ended and it's like, how are they going to continue the story? It's no, how are they going to, like, continue
up the story
every week, like the stakes got higher and higher.
So is there any well-known actors on that show or
Isaiah Washington,
okay,
the guy who got kicked off of Grey's Anatomy?
All right, cool.
Paige Turca,
oh nice.
The guy who was dude on Lost, the British dude who was already on the island, whatever his name is.
Yeah, I can't remember
something
his name.
Like that. It's three names. It's very British sounding. But no, The 100, for sure. Check that one out. Okay. And then my next one is you have kind of bundled together.
Yeah.
Justified.
Yeah, well, yeah, I just literally, this year was the end of Justified, Mad Men, and Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
So it was like shows that, you know, I either was watching or started watching. Like Parks and Rec, I think I started like probably fourth year in,
yeah.
But I literally binge watched it and caught up. So, you know, it was just one of those things where they all end it.
Yeah.
I figured we'd talk about, you know, some of our favorite shows that ended.
Justified is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, it was, that was definitely one of your favorite shows.
I still am sad that that show's not on the air.
But they can come back and, you know, I mean, I could see them doing a TV movie of some sort with those characters.
I mean, Netflix is a great place to
Exactly. Yeah, and I am acknowledging that on something else. So
The ending
of that was...
was so perfect.
I tell you what.
Because it wasn't what you expected.
There wasn't, like, the whole thing where, you know, somebody mysteriously disappeared and then shows up. It's like, you know, everybody had their story tie up. You know, it's like literally, it was gift wrapped. It literally felt like a gift wrapped box saying, here you go. Thank you for watching.
We're
not going to kill anybody because we know you like them all.
And it was so satisfying.
The people who died had to die.
Yeah.
But the people who didn't die,
nope.
It was worth it.
And the ending that Raylan got.
Yes.
Is one of these things, like I just talked about Fargo, just in a good way. It
was
the ending he never expected to have.
Right.
But the ending he had to have.
Yeah.
I think there's no
better. I mean, it literally, like, you know, if you watch the show, you know. He didn't die, which is what I was expected. They were going to kill him at the end.
Well, and they had the scene where...
Oh, yeah, the scene where you're like, oh, no. But it was one of those things where it was like, the ending I got, I was very satisfied with. Yeah. It was like the flip of Dexter.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know? But it closed out on a good season with a lot of good actors.
And Timothy Olyphant.
Oh, yeah.
That show.
Yeah, I mean, the show itself had good actors on it.
He made everybody better.
Yeah.
Everyone who had a scene with him, it wasn't just, hey, I'm going to steal this scene.
Yeah.
He brought, like you know, to...
He wanted everybody... I think he was the type of actor where, and, you know, I've heard interviews with him, where he wanted everybody to be good on that show because of Elmore Leonard?
Yeah,
is that
Elmore Leonard.
He was... I think him and Elmore had built a relationship, a friendship,
and
even.
And he's friends with, like, Elmore's son.
Yeah, and it was, like, one of those things where it's, like, when Elmore passed away... It's like, let's do this and let's close it out on a good note. And, you know, I think they brought in quality guest actors.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Neil McDonough, his season as the bad guy.
This season had Mary Steenburgen playing a villain.
And Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott, yeah.
As a villain.
You can't go wrong with Sam Elliott.
But, I like wrestling, right? And you know this.
Yeah.
So, like Chris Jericho or Shawn Michaels in the ring, they make everybody who they wrestle.
Yeah, better. Oh, yeah.
That's how Timmy Olyphant was. A funny thing is, you know, this was based on a short story called Fire in the Hole.
Yeah.
And the character's name, did you ever hear about how Elmore Leonard came up with the name
Rick? No.
So, I guess he's at a convention, he's at a booth signing, and little boy in Texas... comes up and he's like, what's your name? He's like, my name's Raylan.
Raylan.
Like, you're gonna be the main character in my next book.
Yeah.
Because he liked the name so much. I thought that was really cool.
Like, that's an awesome, so. I mean, you know, and it, you know, everybody came back.
Yeah.
Nick Searcy had been off pretty much the previous season because of the injuries that he had incurred on the show. But him coming back and, you know, pretty much coming back into the role that he was.
Yep.
And I mean, you know, Oliphant pretty much
Walton Goggins.
I can't wait to see The Hateful Eight just because of Walton Goggins. Watching Predators is awesome because Walton Goggins shows up in that and you're like, what's going on?
Pretty much anything with Walton in it.
Yeah.
It's like, you kind of watch it.
Walton Goggins was in The Bourne Identity.
He was in Major League 3.
Yeah, it's
him
really
and the
weird.
Guy, Kenny, what's his name? He played Lemansky in The Shield.
Yeah.
Like, they were both.
It's just weird because you're like, you know him now, but it's like when he was, you know, just a background actor, it was like, wow, okay.
So, for me. His run on as Venus on.
Oh, yeah, on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, how's that not in either one of our lists?
Yeah.
Final season.
Was it last year or this year? I don't...
I think it was this year.
I thought it was last year, but...
last year, I don't know.
I didn't go and check just because I felt like, you know, I already was building a list that was, like, gargantuan.
Yeah.
So, talking about Mad Men, the show went on a long time.
You couldn't get into it. Yeah. I watched the first three episodes.
It's like you're into the marketing and all that type of stuff, but this was more advertisement. And I took a lot of like advertisement type classes in high school and that, and actually interned at an advertising company.
Yeah.
So I was curious to watch this just because of that when it started out. And this show just went places that I was like, okay, you know.
I've never erased it out of my Netflix queue.
Yeah.
But like Breaking Bad, it took me a while to get into Breaking Bad.
It's the same thing. It's like one of those ones where you really have to have the time and patience.
Yeah.
But and I mean, the fans were very patient because there was times where this show was off the air, you know, because of one reason or another.
Right.
Yeah, it seemed like it was like more drawn out. It seemed like it was like 10 years when it was only like, I think, 6 years.
Yeah.
And that it ended on a good note. I mean, you know, one character was dying of cancer, but the whole show, they smoked like smoke stacks. it ended with the Coke song.
Okay.
I like to see the world. And it seemed like the story tied to that. They never really acknowledged if Don Draper came up with that advertising idea.
Well, he didn't.
Not in real life. Yeah. But on the show, like the company at that point had been bought. He was supposed to be coming up with an advertising slogan for Coca-Cola.
Okay.
But he was at a commune when he was supposed to be coming. And at the end, he's sitting there just with his fingers together and like, exactly. He's doing that. And then it cuts to the Coca-Cola commercial.
Okay.
And it's like, that is a cool ending because you're like, still like, okay, I'd like to see more, but I got enough.
Yeah.
The breakout of this show was hit the girl who played his daughter. Kieran Shipka is her name. And she like, literally when she started, she was a little girl.
Yeah, well.
And I mean, at the end she was, I think she's like 15 or 16 now. She was awesome throughout the entire series. Like, that was a character where you actually got to see the evolution of a character and the actor playing the character.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely... I'm going to try...
John Hamm's awesome.
For me, like, one of the big problems was, after three episodes, the only character whose name I knew was John Hamm's.
Don Draper, and that wasn't his real name anyways. When we talked about Superman versus Batman, the trailer, and we were talking about who they cast as Lex Luthor, John Hamm would have been an awesome Lex Luthor. John Hamm could have played Lex Luthor.
He'd be an awesome Lex Luthor. He'd be an awesome Han Solo.
He could be Batman.
Yeah. You know, there's really.
But play against, if, you know, they would have been looking at it a little bit more logically, casting wise.
Yeah.
Playing him against Ben Affleck, because Ben Affleck's a really good actor. I mean, He's another actor where he's evolved.
He has, and he's especially good when it's stuff he's written.
Yeah,
he kind of understands motivation better. But yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, playing John Hamm against Ben Affleck would have been pretty awesome.
All right, so then we both had Star Wars Rebels.
Yes, which we talked about in episode 22. So just go back and listen to it.
This show, yeah, watch it. All right, so then my kind of big like out of left field one is a show on FX called You're the Worst.
Mm-hmm.
Stars Aya Cash. I love it.
What's it about?
It's about a writer named Jimmy Shy of Overly, who is a horrible person.
Okay.
And he meets this girl, Gretchen, played by Aya Cash, at his ex-girlfriend's wedding.
Okay.
And she's worse than he is.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, but it's, like, funny, and, like, they're two people who, like, against their better selves care about each other.
Right.
And, you know, and it's kind of, it goes through, like, her moving in with him. And, like, you know, and the second the first season was good. The second season was amazing.
Yeah.
It deals with depression.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it's very dark
humor. It kind of is. They kind of show why they are the worst people that they are.
And, you know, I mean, and they're not, like, it's not just them.
Now, is this, like, a 10-episode season type stuff?
10 episodes. Okay. You know, maybe 12.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just, I mean...
It's kind of a dark comedy.
It is, and it's a place I like to just visit, you know?
Okay.
Like, you kind of, like, visit, you look in on their lives.
Yeah, I'm always curious to hear stuff that you watch that I don't watch,
I watch a lot of stuff like that.
Well, you know, like Breaking Bad, you had been ahead of me, you know, for a while, and I
didn't like Breaking Bad at first.
Yeah, I had the discs sitting there forever, never had watched them, and you were like, saying it's really good, and I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it, you know.
So, I mean, this is one, like, I just really enjoy it. Like, it's very much in the vein of, like, of, as far as, like, darkness.
Yeah.
Of, like, The League, It's Always Sunny.
Okay,
that
yeah.
That kind of stuff. I mean, It's Always Sunny is, like, that and
it's pretty much the people who just don't give a shit.
Yeah, there's, and, there's you know, a whole lot of not giving an F.
Yeah.
You know, that happens. And in this season, the Gretchen character goes into this really deep, like, just dark, dangerous, self-destructive depression.
Wow, okay.
And, like, someone who, you know, I mean, you know, I yeah. do that all the time. I watch it, it's like, yeah, my life's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah.
You know, it's like, if anything, I get something out of it. But, yeah, it's one of those things where, if you haven't seen it, again, like, all the FX shows, the first season's on Hulu.
Okay.
The second season's on the FX Now app. So if you have, like, Time right. Warner or DirecTV or whatever, you can subscribe and you can watch it all.
Right.
I highly recommend that one.
So I have a lot more.
Yeah, you have a bunch more.
Yeah.
So let's go through these.
The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead, we've talked about it a lot. I mean,
The Walking Dead.
You know.
Is that about?
They stumble around a lot, but it's like, you know, it's a story about the Grateful Dead.
Okay, great.
Yeah, you know, and
no,
the dead.
We talk about this a lot.
Yeah, I literally wrote that on the notes. Is we talk about this a lot? So I
watched the first episode of Fear the Walking Dead. I'm not watching it anymore.
Okay,
I just don't care.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead, I just watched, so we can talk about it, and I can complain about it.
Yeah.
Done.
Supergirl.
We've talked about that a bunch.
I wrote on here, it's a fun show, but I hope we see Kal-El soon.
Yeah.
I just came from the comic book store, and I was talking to Jeff at Queen City Comics about it, and I said, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Clark Kent.
Yeah.
And I said, and I think that there's a lot of stuff going on with Cat Grant where I think Clark Kent ties to that story.
Yeah.
And I think he should show up.
Let's hope.
And I'm hoping it's Tom Welling.
Yeah.
Tom Welling just signed a deal with CBS. So I'm like hoping that maybe they'll go, hey, would you mind coming over and just dressing up as Clark Kent for a while? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just keeps getting better and better.
This is the best season. Yeah. So.
The Americans.
I don't watch that one.
If you like spy stuff.
And I do.
I would recommend checking it out. Yeah.
It's on my like.
Carrie Russell is awesome in this. The guy, I don't remember the guy who plays her husband, but those two are like so good.
Cool.
And they go through a lot of like makeup changes in the show to look like
aging,
you
know,
well,
like
they make them look like different people.
Okay.
Because he's literally, it's cool. His character is married to Carrie Russell.
Okay.
They're spies from Russia.
Okay.
It's 1980s. You know, they have kids.
Okay.
Their kids were born in America.
Like, they had kids together?
They had kids together, but they didn't love each other.
Wow.
You know, at first they didn't love each other. They were put together by, you know, the KGB.
Yeah,
and
assignment.
Yeah, exactly. They've grown to love each other.
Okay.
But he's married to somebody else, too, as one of his identities.
Okay.
So it's, like, cool to watch that story happen, too. Noah Emmerich's on this, too.
Oh, cool.
He's playing an FBI agent, and he's awesome, too. My next one, Better Call Saul.
Yeah, and again, like, I'm waiting until that one shows up on Netflix.
It's cool because it's a prequel, but it's a sequel, too.
Yeah.
Because we know all these characters, but we're getting introduced to them for the quote-unquote first time.
And his real name's not Saul Goodman.
His real name's not Saul Goodman. And they haven't explained how he comes with that, how he comes to that point that he's using that name, but they explain where it comes from.
Now, that's coming for a second season, right?
Yeah, it's like March, I believe.
Like, what do you think is the shelf life for that show?
I could see it going 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
I could really see it because there was enough in the, it's like the first season, I was like, what are they going to do to keep this going?
Like, how far in advance did they? Like, how far from, like, the Breaking Bad series in the past does it start?
It starts, like, right when, like, pretty much at the beginning of his career.
Oh,
and,
okay.
But, not in the first episode, though, because it jumps around a lot. The first episode literally shows him, he had said what was going to happen to him in Breaking Bad, and it happened to him.
Oh, okay.
He is working at a, the cinnamon donut place that's in malls and that.
Oh, Cinnabon.
Cinnabon. He's working at Cinnabon and he's just living in an apartment. He's a lonely guy.
Yeah.
And he's just watching TV and that. And it literally flashes back at that point.
Okay.
And that Michael McKean's in it, playing his brother.
Oh, nice.
So
what's his name?
I forget.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a show I watched and I really liked it, but
it was 6 episodes.
I think it was six or eight. Yeah.
I mean, this is one, like I said.
Mike Ermatrout is in it. So, I mean, you know, that character coming back.
I'm watching it. But.
They brought back a lot of characters that you've seen in Breaking Bad. But, like I said, it's the first time he's meeting them.
Yeah.
So, it's like, okay, you know, that's where this character was at that point. I'm sure this year you might see something with Jesse.
Yeah.
Because they've mentioned that Jesse might be coming on. So I'm assuming that.
Well, I mean, he's just doing T-Mobile commercials. So like, I'm assuming he's going to show up because otherwise.
I just think it's going to be an ideal thing because of the way that the story is developing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know. But it was cool because it's not just about Saul.
Oh.
Because Mike Ermatrout has a whole episode that's just about where he came from.
Oh, cool.
So you get to see his origin too.
He was great on.
Oh, see, I've never watched Community.
The
character, so.
Like Mike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was on the last season.
Well, he's like been in everything. Yeah. I watched Gremlins last night, obviously, because it's a Christmas. And he plays the deputy in that, and it's like, wow. All
right, so next on your list.
Doctor Who.
And,
Did you forget it, or?
Yeah, it kind of did.
Yeah.
Capaldi might be my favorite Doctor.
And now he said that next year might be his last year.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think 3 years for him is a great run.
Right.
So.
And it's been a good run. This year was really fun. I mean, it was more the adventuresome Doctor, you know, out on adventures and that.
Right.
Maisie Williams was in multiple episodes. Right. It kind of was, you know, had the Jack Harkness vibe going on with her character.
She's now a fixed point.
Yeah.
Jack Harkness.
Right. So.
I did like the line of hers where she's like, an infinite life, but a finite memory.
Right.
And it's like.
Right. Yeah, unlike Jack, she doesn't remember everything. Yeah. She has to write it down.
Yeah.
So she's got volumes in a library of her life, and it like reads as a story.
But it's also kind of from her perspective,
so
it's not all correct.
Right.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah, it would be an interesting novel series or, you know, book on record. You know, book on record. You know what I mean.
What's a record?
Oh, my God. It's a vinyl thing. Anyway. I'm not, though, because those things are all over the place now.
He's putting more wax.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Right now. If I had that much mustache, I'd do that
anyway.
One. My last one was one of my favorite shows. Netflix picked up this year, Longmire.
And I haven't watched any of that show.
It was a show that I started watching because Katie Sackhoff was on it. Loved her on Battlestar Galactica.
Just in love with her.
Maybe.
You know what she was?
She's married now, though, so I can't, you know.
She was great on the Bionic Woman reboot.
Oh, yeah.
And I always said.
You wanted her to be the Bionic Woman.
I wanted them to switch.
Yeah.
Like, she was a Bionic Woman, too.
Right.
And what they should have done is taken the brunette girl's memory.
Michelle Ryan.
Who's a fantastic actress. The best episode she did was the one where she got to speak in her normal British accent.
Right.
It's like, oh, wait, she can emote.
Yeah.
There is emotion here, which I think happens a lot with these British actors in the American accent. They should have just downloaded her personality into Katie Sackhoff and had
Katie Sackhoff be
the dual
Jamie Summers.
Well, no, have her be both.
Oh, wow.
And always like the inner battle.
Yeah.
And that show would still be on the air.
Yeah.
So
good show. It is
Longmire,
it's not a police procedural like the normal ones.
Is it like a Western? Like
it's kind of
like
got the Western
cowboy hat.
It's a Western vibe. It takes place, I think it's South Dakota or in that area.
Okay.
There is an Indian reservation nearby.
Okay.
So it starts out like kind of with the mystery of how his wife got murdered.
Okay.
And then this is the fourth year. He's the sheriff in the town. I think it's Absaroka County is the name of the county. It's based off of a novel series, too.
Oh, cool.
The Longmire Mysteries is what the novels are called. I forget his name. He played one of the agents in Matrix.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And that... I enjoy everybody...
From Farscape, was he?
No, that was the other one. Yeah. I enjoy everybody on this series. I mean, Lou Diamond Phillips is awesome in the series. He plays Longmire's best friend.
Okay.
Like I said, Katie Sackhoff, she is really good at playing the tortured characters.
Cool.
And there's a lot of backstory to her character that you find out over the years. The fourth, it got canceled. It was on
AMC.
A&E.
Yeah.
and it got canceled, and Netflix picked it up, and they said they're going to come back for another season. The guy who plays Walt Longmire's name's Robert Taylor.
Okay.
He's Australian, but he, you don't know, you can't tell.
Well, I mean, the English accent, Southern, like English Australianish,
yeah,
accent, Southern accent. Yeah, not that far apart.
He's real gruff. So, yeah. He's real gruff on the show, and it literally he kind of is like a cowboy.
Okay.
I
think, and that's why I avoided it, because like the old West stuff, like,
and it's modern day.
I'm not like even like the modern day like cowboy
riding
horses and stuff. It's like, it's not really my thing.
It's just like, you know, every episode is pretty much a murder mystery.
Okay.
But they don't give away much of what, you know, who did it.
Okay.
Like a lot of these shows, I can just sit there and guess and usually hit it right.
Like when you watch Bones.
Yeah.
The first person they talk to is always the person.
Right. And this is one where it's like sometimes it's not who you expected it to be.
Cool.
And that Cassidy Freeman from Smallville plays Longmire's daughter.
She was Tess.
Yes. Yeah. She's awesome. And there's just a lot of good actors on here. A. Martinez kind of plays a villain.
All right, maybe that, I'll check it out.
It's a show where I'm like, it's on Netflix. Check it out. Yeah. If you like, you know, murder mysteries, you know, if you like cowboys. Yeah, so.
So
that's pretty
so
much.
That's
oh, wow. Wow. That took a wrong turn.
So,
that's pretty much my TV.
Yeah. So stuff. Do you have any honorable mentions that
work? No, nothing really. Yeah, like I said, Sons of Anarchy popped in my head, but I didn't go check to see.
Is there anything you found this year that like you hadn't watched in the past?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, I got one. It's called The Goldbergs. It's a comedy.
Oh, yeah, you
it's
told me about
ABC.
That.
If you like this kind of podcast.
And I've watched a little bit of that.
Go
yeah,
watch.
It's fun.
It's the little kid that plays Adam Goldberg, Adam F. Goldberg, is like, he's all of our kindred spirits.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and you know, just to kind of go back a little bit, it's Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
we're actually rewatching it right now.
Okay,
like oh god, I miss that show so much.
I really thought it was a well done show.
Nick Offerman, who played Ron Swanson,
yeah, oh yeah,
is my spirit animal.
Yeah,
so
his comedy specials are off the wall.
His book, if you have a chance, if when you guys aren't listening to this to us on the Infamous Podcast, get Nick Offerman's audiobook.
Yeah,
like the book is great. But get the audiobook because he reads it.
Wow. Who else would?
And so it's perfect.
But if you read the book, did you hear his voice in your head?
Well, yeah, obviously. But like,
yeah.
The audiobook.
But was it Ron Swanson voice? Or?
Well, it's all the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's in the second season of Fargo.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And his character is great. Kind of the complete antithesis of Ron Swanson.
Nice.
But yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so Goldbergs, check that out. Fargo, check that out. We're going to have lists of all this stuff on the show, or on the show notes. All right, so finally.
To the comic books.
To the comic books. God, we've been talking for almost an hour, dude.
Well, you know,
there's a
good
lot
stuff,
go
you know.
2015's been a great year,
yeah.
So, you know, bear with us for a little bit longer. We had some crossover, I think probably a lot more.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at your list yet, so.
After you got here, we had a little more because I was like,
because
oh,
you
I
forgot
forgot
about stuff.
So.
You always do that. I write down a list, and you're like, wait a minute, I forgot about that.
Well, I, you know, because, like I said, you sleep, I watch and read, so I kind of...
But my brain's still going when I'm sleeping,
well,
so, you know.
Anyway, so for me, my number one book this year is Darth Vader.
Just Darth Vader?
Darth Vader in general.
Okay.
The Vader Down stuff
mm-hmm.
just added to the amazingness
yeah.
of that book, but seeing Darth Vader... Not as whiny Anakin Skywalker.
It's
Darth
Anakin
Lord
Skywalker, but it's Anakin Skywalker with carte blanche.
Yeah.
You just do whatever you want.
It's the Anakin we were promised. That
yeah,
we've never seen.
Yeah,
never.
Jason Aaron knocking it out of the park.
Yeah,
both Star Wars books. I've been, you know, literally, I just bundled the whole Star
yeah,
Wars
I mean,
universe.
I have Star
Wars yeah,
on here. Like yeah, you know, in honestly,
all
like,
the miniseries we talked about
great,
a lot of
Lando
this stuff. Yeah,
great.
Yeah, everything.
If there's one to read.
Vader is the one.
It's Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of all of them, it touches on everything.
Yeah.
Like, and you don't have to read the Star Wars.
Yeah, I can't
Star
argue Wars. With you. I mean, I'm...
Like, Darth Vader is hands down the best book. And as someone who hasn't always been... Like, I'm not a huge Darth Vader
right.
fan. For me to say that is huge.
Yeah.
I just think... And it's mainly because Jason Aaron writes it spectacularly. The art is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, just everything about it. And then to top it off, to end this year, we're getting this Vader Down story that I actually reread Vader Down number one yesterday. Just because when I was thinking
about that last panel. Like, that last panel. There's, you know.
Well, my favorite.
Why don't you come down here and try and stop me?
You come on down here and stop me, and we'll see who's surrounded. But no, the whole space battle there, where he flies into the belly of the, you know, X-Wing squad.
Yeah.
And they're like, this bucket head is toast. And then he's using the Force to, like, stop proton torpedoes.
Right.
Bolts, and it's very much like what we got to see in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what has me so excited.
Yeah, it's the whole thing that, you know, Obi-Wan said it, Uncle Owen said it, you know, that he was one of the best pilots during the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the proof is there. I mean, you know, if it was written down, then that means, yeah, he was one of the best pilots. I mean, he crashed a lot of ships, obviously, but, you know, when he's in that TIE fighter, yeah, there's not really a point of stopping him unless you're coming out of the sun and just blasting every TIE fighter next to him. I mean, you know, they didn't hit him.
I mean, Launchpad McQuack was a great pilot.
Yeah.
He couldn't land a plane to save save anybody's life. But, you know, he was a great pilot. So Darth Vader, Star Wars, you know, right up there.
Yeah. I liked every miniseries that... I haven't read Chewbacca yet.
Chewbacca's great.
But I've read every other miniseries. That Lando Calrissian miniseries. When that trade comes out, people pick it up.
I'm saying go get the Princess Leia trade.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different side of Leia that we've never seen. It's a story that it's like, oh, yeah. Like, you just don't
think about. And it answers, like, you know, little questions. Like, Nine Nobe, that's where he first, like, really gets involved with the Alliance. Yeah. And it's like, well, there's where that guy from Return of the Jedi came from. In The Force Awakens now. Yeah. So, I mean, that's cool. That shows why he's still around, why he's fighting with Leia and that in The Force Awakens is shown in the Princess Leia miniseries. So it's like, it's a cool thing to see them bring in characters. The Lobot story and the Lando Calrissian thing. I mean,
which was so interesting and, like,
yeah,
you know, it harkens back to an episode from season one of Rebels,
right?
Where the Greedo looking guy.
I forget
the race that they are. I don't.
Know. I Rodians.
Rodians. Yeah. Thank you. Gets the implant.
Yeah, yeah, and showing him fighting it was interesting.
And that. Lobot doing the same thing.
The Kanan book. I mean, if you're a fan of Rebels, read the Kanan book.
That's
the
one I haven't read.
Yeah.
And because...
The first story is, in parts, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it shows Caleb Dune surviving and being hunted at the same time. Like, I mean, you know, it's like they haven't shown a lot of what happened during Order 66 with these characters. And it's like, you know, you get to see it. So, yeah, I mean, all the Star Wars books are highly recommended. Marvel is doing a bang-up job. You know, Dark Horse did an awesome job.
And I was really worried. And,
yeah.
I mean, you and I had a lot of talks about this because from Dark Horse, I mean, I was probably getting 5 Star Wars books.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I was getting all those little miniseries about the Jedi and
stuff
before they lost the rights. But, like, the editorial staff over there and the writers and Brian Wood's Star Wars proper book was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, different from the Marvel one.
Right.
Which I'm happy for.
It had to be different. I mean, it had to go in a different direction.
Just continue someone else's story. I'm just so over the moon with how good these books have been.
Yeah. Jason Aaron. I mean.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Anytime you want to come on, let us know. If somebody knows Jason Aaron out there and is listening to this, let him know we'd like them to come on.
We're fans.
Yeah.
All right. So we both have Invincible and The Walking Dead. We've talked about both of these books.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about The Walking Dead enough on here, but I mean, we're going into the countdown to 150 at this point.
Which is next month.
So this is going to be probably Survivors versus Whisperers.
I think it'll be the start of that.
Yeah.
It'll probably be a 4 or 5.
Yeah, it'll go into that'll be the beginning of the arc, and, you know, it'll be a 6-issue arc. Yeah. And that got to fill that trade paperback.
Yeah, I mean, the first one, and then four or five issues.
I'll tell you what. Let's go Invincible more because, you know, Robert Kirkman love. But
these last 3 issues, the reboot. Freaking good.
I literally put reboot in my notes because reboot was a 3-issue story that we had no idea if they were going to change everything.
No. And it was very much a, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, and like you said, it was Mark showing that he's not smart, because he literally goes through and tells everybody everything.
He does exactly what he's not supposed to do when you time travel.
Yeah. But it gets to the end. Ooh. And, you know, I'm not going to spoil it because it just came out, but I'm like, I think I text you right after I read it and go, did you read this?
When you get the question, did what you do, what you did now, was that right or wrong?
Well, you, okay.
Which way do you want to
go? You have a daughter.
I do have a daughter.
If I was an alien, if I revealed to you today that I was an alien.
I wouldn't be surprised.
If, yeah, well, you know, yeah, I'm not saying I am or I am not, you know, but if I came to you and I said, we can fix the world, everything that's wrong with the world right now, we can fix it, but you can't have your daughter.
See, it would depend on the day.
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't trade, I mean, like, and I've told her this, I wouldn't trade her for anything.
Right. You know? And this question comes up to Mark at the end, and the answer has consequences.
The answer does have consequences, and we don't get a new Invincible book until April.
Right.
And I'm so pissed off.
I think it's a good idea, though.
I think it's a good idea, but I'm still...
Well, Ryan probably has to catch up.
I'm like, no!
Ryan Ottley is an awesome artist.
His art this time around, because he didn't get to draw those early issues.
Yeah.
That was,
I forget his name. I'm sorry. I really don't remember. Anyway. Do you have the trades here?
No, they're all digital.
Oh, okay. What's it, Rathburn? Rathburn, I think. Yeah. Yeah, Cliff Rathburn. Yeah.
No, Cliff Rathburn is the colorist.
Oh, okay. Then he's been there the whole time.
Yeah,
man.
He's been there the whole time. His art, like the retelling of some of these scenes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's kind of cool because, you know, when it comes out in a trade... It's going to be cool if they sit those pages next to each other and show.
Like, you know, because I started out getting trades and then switched over to single issues just
right.
because I didn't want to wait.
But if you have it digitally, maybe put that up on the site or something.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's just, it was like, I think, like, I literally finished it and text you and said, did you read this yet? And it was like, holy crap.
And this isn't the first time that we've had a reaction to something that happened in this.
It's one of those things where, and you know.
The tagline of the book is the best superhero comic in the universe.
Yeah.
And then for a while there, I had the superhero things crossed out because of something that was going on. This is literally the best superhero book going right now. And it has been, and it's probably the most underrated book.
It's one of those things where I tell people that read The Walking Dead or watch the TV show The Walking Dead, if you're going to read a Robert Kirkman book, read Invincible first.
Yeah.
And man, I mean, both books, you're just like, at times you're like, what?
Yeah.
And yeah, this one is definitely like up in the top. I read it as soon as I get it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, because like, I do this one digitally. So like as soon as like 10 o'clock, I'm on the image app. Like,
yeah.
All right, come on.
Come on. Yeah.
Let me buy it. But yeah. All right. So then for me, I had Descender.
Okay. Yeah. Which I haven't read yet, but you...
Which I've
singing
read
the
three
high
times
praises,
now.
Right?
You know, it's beautifully written,
right?
It's beautifully drawn.
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks awesome.
The beauty of this book is they could take out every single word balloon
and just tell it as an art story.
You could still understand what's happening. I haven't like I bought the first trade.
Right.
I'm just gonna buy this one.
Buy the trades.
I don't want to deal with like the emotional turmoil of waiting 4 to 6 weeks for the next book to come out. But yeah, I mean, Descender is great. The next one on my list we both have.
Chrononauts,
which I read because of you.
Yeah, this was one that, it's only 5 issues. It's another Millar World
and
book.
And I grabbed the first issue when it came out.
Right.
And it went into the...
The pile.
The pile of, I'll get to it eventually. I will. I think there's like 10 issues of Unity in there.
Wow. Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones where I'm going to read it. Or, well, I was going to
read
it.
I'm a sucker for a time travel story.
And me too. Like,
and I'm like, and Mark Millar doing a time travel story is pretty much like, you know, it's going to be crazy as hell.
Yeah.
And this one, it's one where if they do this as a movie, it's going to look awesome. If they stick to the story, it's going to look awesome.
So if they do this as a movie, it needs to be at least 2.
Yeah.
Maybe 3. Like, you know.
Well, I could see it going as a three, but I could see this one story being a movie.
Right.
And I mean, just certain points of the action where they're getting chased in a Ferrari by an army.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, I'm sold.
The whole thing with the mob in Jersey.
Was it Sean Phillips on the art?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean Phillips just, yeah.
But, yeah, no, if you're going to do this, like, this is one where the comic book is your storyboard.
Yeah.
Do not stray from it.
Yeah.
Just like 300. Like, just like Watchmen. Don't stray too far.
Yeah, don't stray too far from the story.
Artistic license with some things, because there are things that just won't work on the big screen.
Well, and this is another one where the ending, you're totally like, okay, where are they going to go from here? Because
if they go anywhere,
they get back from the past and things have changed.
And the thing is, though, is they could just leave it there and
never
come back to it. And it's
fine. I do think this is one where they'll come back.
Well, I mean, I think this will be like his Jupiter Legacy, Jupiter Circle.
Right.
You know, Jupiter Circle ended, Volume 2 just started.
Right.
You know, it's been a couple issues in. So,
yeah, I mean, this story once a year. Yeah.
You try it out 4 issues, like, over every summer
for
the next 5 or 6 years. You've got a pretty solid body of work.
Yep.
All right, what do you have next?
What do I have next? Secret Wars.
Which I added after reading that.
I'm 2 issues behind at this point. Yeah, you're caught up. I'm 2 issues behind. It's a good story. It hasn't ended yet. It will end next year, obviously. It's a cool imaginary story. Even though it is in the Marvel Universe proper, it's a cool imaginary story. All the spinoffs have been awesome. You know,
I've read.
Well, yeah, I've read some of them, and others I haven't read, and some of them I don't care about.
Right.
But just bringing in characters that were gone, and, you know, the Maestro showing up, who always has been, you know, the Hawk's one of my favorite Marvel characters,
or, you know,
and then bringing the Maestro back is like one of those things where you're like, oh hell, where is this going to go? And then Devil Dinosaur and Captain America teaming up, it's like, where did that come from? Just some of the ideas where it's like, you know, Marvel hasn't done a what if book in a long time,
right? And I mean, that's what those are.
I told you that when I was talking about it, is that these are the what if books where you don't have to call them what if, because they're actually happening.
Right.
But I want to see Marvel think about bringing back a what if as a maybe an annual, like a quarterly or something.
Doing
these characters in these stories, because there's a lot more story to that.
To go back before,
before, you know, the characters who survived the fall of the universes showed up and just show like what was going on. And I think what if is the way to do it.
I think,
but I, you know,
the 1602 is one that I haven't read.
Yeah,
that I want to go back and read.
Yeah,
there's some MODOK stuff, where he's like an assassin.
Yeah, that stuff's like kind of crazy.
It's like so far out where it's like,
yeah, that's in the, I think one of the Secret Wars journal stories, and so, it's like those are cool because, you know, if they bring it in as an you know, a quarterly or something, that would be what they could call it, a Secret Wars journal.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of the what if too. I really wish that, you know, Dark Horse had a series of Star Wars books called Infinities.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that since Marvel does pretty much own it.
I just reread the Star Wars Infinities the other day.
Yeah, and so, I'm thinking like if Marvel owns the rights to that title,
why not
do a what if, you know, every quarter
of
Star Wars. I mean, there's a lot of Star Wars stories you could tweak and mess with.
What if Ben Kenobi survived?
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, you know.
Vader there, like,
yeah.
Where does that start?
What if Anakin would have beat Ben Kenobi on Mustafar?
Yeah.
You know.
So, Secret Wars, like, just kind of all of it has been.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
added it to your list.
Well, and mainly for me, is I first started reading Secret Wars just as the individual as the side stories,
right?
And I didn't read the main story until Comixology had a sale where it was buy one, get one free.
Oh, they actually had the whole thing?
Well, up to the point. So I was like, you know what? Okay, so
I tell you what. The reason I was picking up these books was not because of the story. But it's because of those Alex Ross covers. I love Alex Ross art, so...
Yeah. Just, I mean, I picked up a couple of them, like, after the fact.
Yeah.
Before the covers. You know, I got one with Cyclops on the cover.
But,
all right. So then...
What do you have?
My last one that we haven't talked about is Grayson.
Yeah.
We
know you have a love for the Robin characters.
Just the Robin characters in general, but
right.
This is a book where I firmly believe if this book were rooted in
DC, original DC mythos,
mythology,
yeah,
this would be an Eisner winning book.
Oh wow.
Because
okay.
they would have so much more history to draw upon.
Sure.
Because they don't have that right now.
Right.
They don't have any of his time as the Teen Titans.
Right.
Really. I mean, there's the whole Titans Hunt thing right. going on where they're kind of retconning.
But if we've talked about, if somebody at DC finally said, we're going to get rid of New 52, you could have Grayson, right. come into that fold. Like, if you did a Crisis on Infinite Earths type story and brought everything back to the normal DC universe,
well, if you think,
Grayson could fit in there.
It could.
Yeah.
Because it would be more impactful.
Right.
Because in the New 52, he's not this beloved character.
Right.
Amongst the superhero community.
Right.
I mean, he was Robin for like a week. And then he was Nightwing for like 3 years.
Right.
You know, whereas in the original continuity.
Well, and then his identity got outed.
Well, right.
You know,
but
I think that was the last big storyline that I read in DC.
Evil, whatever.
Well, yeah, it was the Earth 3 villains, super villains that are the superheroes. The flip. Yeah.
So, anyway, but like, if you take into account the, like, how loved he was and how, like, you know, I mean, he and Batman would have the conversation all the time. Dude, you have to have friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the whole story of Nightwing, the character's name, where it came right. from, was tied to Superman.
And they mentioned that.
And I'm like, you know,
gloss over that in the New
52. I'm at the point now where it's like with DC, I'm only picking up Flash and Green Lantern
I'm getting the Robin stuff.
DC proper.
And I get the Green Lantern because I've ever Green Lantern for like the last 15 years.
But I'm like, they've trampled so much on their own history.
Just ruined.
Yeah.
So, like, that we're supposed to believe they were.
I don't feel like Marvel is spitting in the face of their history. They'd like to twist their history.
So, the all new, all different, you know. And you know what? Honestly, your next one is Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah. Yeah. Which,
you know, go back and listen to our interview with Brandon
Montclair. And that, honestly, the only reason I picked the book up was because of the interview with Brandon Montclair. And I'm like, I'm going to pick this book up now because I liked it that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, it's on my list. The second issue just came out
this week.
But that's not, they're not rebooting a character.
Right.
They're not even reimagining the character.
They're just introducing somebody and pulling a character from the past.
Original continuity from the past into the future.
Right.
And telling a new story, which right. is a brilliant idea.
Well, and the whole point of Secret Wars is it did not change the universe. It just tweaked the universe.
I think it changed some characters' priorities.
Well, sure.
It challenged what the status quo in at Marvel. Like, you know, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan.
Right.
We've talked about this. I mean, you just gave me a whole bunch of Spider-Man Christmas presents.
Right, yeah.
But, thank you, by the way.
You're welcome.
I feel like I didn't do enough for you.
Oh, you're fine.
Anyway.
God.
Let
it go. Let it go.
But, like, you know, like, they made all these changes, you know.
The changes they did, and we talked about it. I forget what episode that was. Yeah. I didn't write that one down. When we talked about All New, All Different Marvel, they did enough changes to characters where, you know, if you were getting tired of the way the character was going, mm-hmm. that you're like, okay, this is a new way for my character.
Yeah.
And you may not like some of it, but others you do. I think what they did to Peter Parker was an ideal thing to do because of what happened with what was the story where he forgot about Mary Jane?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about. Everybody knows what I'm talking
about.
He
got unmasked in Civil War.
Mephisto, yeah, and yeah. Mephisto made the deal with him. One more day. That kind of feels like it's gone now.
But it's not.
But it's not.
And so, I mean, Mary Jane just popped up in Superior
right.
Iron Man.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
But no,
you got to use characters
but they
where they
up
fit.
The status quo.
Right.
And so they took Peter out of New York and have made him like a global entity.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, as much as I've enjoyed Dan Slott's run,
yeah.
this is not where he is best suited.
Okay.
Like his Silver Surfer, like his galactic version Silver
right.
Surfer, like is one of the it's the first time I've enjoyed Silver Surfer in a while. It's still not a book I'm going to get regularly.
Right.
I'm not a fan of that character. But like, I think what they want to do with Peter right now is great, but, like, a Kieran Gillian or, you know, someone who just has more experience with, like, the traveling hero.
Is it the fact that Dan's been writing the book that long that he needs to take a break?
I mean, he's a New Yorker.
Yeah.
He's so...
Well, right, and if you're a New York culture, if you're a New Yorker writing a character in New York, You're good.
Perfect. Yeah. So it's just, you know, so for that, like, I'm happy with the shakeup that they've done.
Yeah.
But now he's Tony Stark in a spider costume. And
which is kind of a way he could have went anyway at any time, because, I mean, Peter's always been a smart character. It's just now they've done it, and it's like somewhere down the line it's going to have consequences. Right. I do think a lot of the stuff that's come out of Secret Wars will have consequences down the line.
That's the other thing, too, is we don't know how the story ends, so we don't necessarily know.
Right. Why.
But, like, unfortunately, like, with the, again, I'm just going to harp on Spider-Man, it's like the change in the New 52.
Yeah.
Where Batman and Green Lantern didn't really reboot. It just got truncated.
Right.
Like, I feel like this is the same thing that they
did. Well, my whole thought was...
And again, because Slott is so mired in the community that he's in.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been, for him as a writer, he doesn't have the ability to stretch that out.
Right.
So, that's all.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and obviously we haven't read the last issues of Secret Wars. Right. I think people got their wishes. I think that's really what happened. I think that Doom is going to give people their wishes. That's why Tony is a good guy again.
Right.
That's why Doom does not have... He's back to being beautiful Doom, you know. I think that's why...
I don't think it was Doom who gave everybody their wish.
Maybe it was Maestro.
I don't think... I think it's going to be
one of the entities the galactic entities that exist. Right, yeah. That would be a good way to bring the Watchers back.
Yeah.
Because obviously, the death of the Watcher, Uatu.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a good way to bring them back.
Right.
So that was the last one on
that
your
list? That was the last one on my list.
Okay.
So, you have...
so I also have Multiversity, which was the Grant Morrison DC book.
Mm-hmm.
Not tying to the New 52.
Which I read the first two, and I was intrigued.
Yeah. I liked the single story telling. Yeah. Grant wrote all the stories, mm-hmm. different artists for each book. Ivan Rice did the bookends.
Right.
I would like to see more of it.
Yeah.
Because it is what, you know, I think that the comic book community nowadays is smart enough that, you know, we're the ones who've been there for a long time, we're smart enough to get this.
I mean, we
the thing about it is
when we talk about continuity,
right?
You don't necessarily need to have
continuity. Right?
And you know,
doing a mini series called Multiversity
makes perfect.
Totally
sense
get it.
To do that,
get to see different Earths,
yeah.
different the versions Batman. Of the characters.
Captain
yeah,
Carrot.
Captain Carrot. I mean, you know, the Superman character is I forget what Earth he's from, but he's the president. He's
yeah.
black.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where Grant writes a good story, and Grant knows enough about diversity because he's written enough of these characters
right.
that he does it. I mean, you got a rabbit and a black guy and, you know, a mystic and
yeah.
all that on the same team. And it's like, where are we going to go with this? Because at the end of that, you had that team together and they were like, we're going to go out and do something.
Right.
I hope it's not a tease like it was when they did Infinite Crisis and... at the end of the Legion of Three Worlds, one of the Legions was going to go off and travel through the multiverse,
right.
and nothing ever happened with it. That's the problem with DC is a lot of the times is they give you a taste, and then they just take it away, and you never see it again.
Yep.
Last one, Saga.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Saga is just kind of a given on my list.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and I saw you wrote it down, so I didn't have to.
Right.
But pure science fiction...
It's just a good book.
It's got compelling characters.
Two new issues are out. I haven't read either one of them yet.
Fiona Staples' art is beautiful.
Yeah,
I didn't get last week's because I haven't been in the
store. Sure, right.
But yeah, I mean, Fiona Staples is just killing it with the art.
Yeah.
This is the first book for a Brian K. Vaughan book.
Yeah.
That I've been on board since the beginning.
Since the beginning? Okay.
Because Why the Last Man? I mean, I didn't even read
yeah.
it. It had been done for
right.
a couple years.
I think I recommended it to you.
Well, yeah, you're like, hey, check this out. I'm like, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, definitely, sure.
And I still think you should read Ex Machina, too. So.
Yeah, well, it's just one of those. I mean, it's on my list. It's like, I keep checking Vertigo for sales
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
It's definitely it's a different type of book. Than any of the other stuff he's written.
Yeah, I read the first issue. Like,
but
three,
yeah, Saga.
Like, yeah, but Saga is.
It's just, you know.
It's this whole other level of story.
Yeah.
It really.
I mean,
really
Y had to me. Y and Saga are very similar in storytelling.
They're kindred,
but
for sure.
You know, it's a different.
It's a completely different.
Yeah.
Story,
well, it's a different universe. I mean,
yeah.
if Yorick would have been, Was that his name, Yurik?
Yurik, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been in the universe instead of just on Earth. Mm-hmm. You know, it could have had more of the same vibe. But the characters have similarities and differences where I'm like, I know why I like these characters, but I also like them because they're their character.
Yeah, I mean, I love Marco.
Yeah.
He's so flawed.
Yeah.
And he cares
at times he's an ass.
And he cares about his kid more,
yeah,
more than he cares about himself.
Sure.
Which as a dad, like, I relate to. And then Alana.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, she is the heart and soul of that book. And then Marco's mom is fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah.
She's a warrior, yet she's a grandma.
Well, yeah, it's literally your grandma fought in wars, and now she's a doting grandma, yeah, you know. And
but she's still a super.
Yeah, but I'll still kill people for you.
When she lost her ear.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, it didn't even slow her down.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. All right. So that was, I mean, that's the last one. This has been, I mean, we've been at this for a little over almost an hour and a half.
So. Yeah. We had enough to talk about. I mean, you know, year end shows obviously, yeah, so have 2015 things.
2015 has been the year of the geek.
Yeah, well, it really has. Yeah, I hate using that because it's like it seems like we're at the point where it's like you may as well just call it the decade of the geek.
I mean, but we are absolutely, like, it is like all these stories are running in their prime right now.
Yeah.
And
I'm just grateful that we have a lot of good writers and artists out there that are doing these stories.
I think the good writers is more important because we've had good artists in the past.
Yeah. Like, the, well, I mean, even like...
The 90s, like, you know, forget the character design. Like, things were, for outside of Rob Liefeld, were,
yeah,
going really well.
Visually, though, you know, like, even the movies and the TV, yeah, series, the artists that are working, well, on those shows,
you know... I think the biggest difference is...
And when I say artists, I don't mean just the people who draw the pictures on a page. I'm talking about the people who build the sets, mm-hmm, who, you know, do the effects and all that stuff.
And
I mean...
Television is the, you know, difference maker right now.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything has a cinematic quality,
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Part of that is, you know, the tools that are available.
Yeah.
You know, the digital, that kind of stuff. But, like, when you look at, you know, I'll just hark on The Flash. It's a great looking show.
Yeah.
And it's on, you know, the fourth or fifth rated network.
Right.
You know.
Am I going to care about a Flash movie? Probably not, because of this TV series.
You know, I think they kind of shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
But that's something we'll talk about.
Yeah, that's going to be down the line.
So, all right. So next week we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to in 2016.
We'll try to cut it a little less.
Well, I'm not looking forward to a whole lot just yet because not...
There's not a lot out there, but we've seen enough that, you know...
Yeah, and I'm not even going to give any, like, spoiler or
anyways
here yet. But anyway, all right. So this has been...
Couple favorite podcasts?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For me, you know, just from a, like, a marketing side, there's one called Reply All.
Okay.
Actually, there's two from a company called Gimlet Media. So Reply All and I think it's called Something Awesome. Talk amongst yourselves as I pull out my phone. And it's Adam McKay and another guy named Something Awesome. Or Surprisingly Awesome.
Okay.
Which is great. There's a podcast called Jesse Versus Cancer. It's a stand-up comedian named Jesse Case who has ass cancer of the ass, as he says it.
Okay.
It's great just because he's telling his story and going through and everything.
You listen to a lot more podcasts than I do.
There's one. It's called the Rogue Squadron Podcast. It's just right up the road in Columbus.
Oh, okay.
I'm in touch with these guys, actually.
Sure.
Obviously, a Star Wars podcast.
Right.
It's great. They're hilarious and awesome. You know, things like that. You know, Serial, obviously.
Right.
My hands down favorite is called We Have Concerns, starring Anthony Carboni and Jeff Carell.
Okay.
That's a must listen to. It's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's, you know, between 19 and 25 minutes.
Okay.
So check that one out.
I listen to two on a regular basis. I mean, I've been listening to him for years. Night of Living Podcast, another one based out of the Cincinnati area. Freddie and the gang, you know, review horror movies. And, you know, I'm a minor horror fan, but I enjoy listening to them talk about, you know, like we talk about our passions.
Right.
And that I enjoy listening to them talk about stuff. And like I said, I found stuff because of them, the Babadook being the most recent one.
Yeah. Like, people who are, like, hardcore horror fans are interesting.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm not.
Right.
And so, like, listening, because I've listened to a few of theirs.
Right, yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, okay, I want to like learn more about this.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, they talked about one recently, and I didn't listen to the episode because it was a spoilerific episode. There's a movie with Kurt Russell, and I think it's coming out next week on Blu-ray and DVD. It's probably on iTunes already, called Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, that's on
iTunes. Freddie's loving it, so I want to check it out. Is that a horror movie? It is... considered a Western horror.
Okay.
Yeah, because it takes place in the Old West. Yeah, exactly. Here we go with the cowboys again.
Like Tombstone? Love that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, and that's what I'm like. Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who else is in it. Matthew Fox.
Oh, cool.
Is in it.
Is he going to look like he's going to cry?
Well, the way they talk about him in this is he's kind of a badass.
Well, he did that movie where he was like the MMA assassin guy.
Yeah, that was Alex Cross.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was awesome in that too, yeah.
I really like that movie.
The other podcast that I listen to this one like pretty much every week is called WDW Radio.
Okay.
It's about Walt Disney World.
Oh, cool.
And that, you know, I have a love for Disney. Yeah, yeah. You know, have a love for Disney too. Yeah. I mean, obviously, beyond the Marvel and the Star Wars, there's a love for Disney. We grew up with the movies
going
and that.
To Disneyland.
It is Lou Mangello's the host, and he pretty much each episode talks about something to do with Walt Disney World.
Cool.
He does talk about other things that have to do with the company as well. It's just fun. It's fun to listen to people passionate about stuff that you know I enjoy, even if I don't enjoy it as much as they do. And, you know, he has a extended group that comes in and they talk about different things. He's kind of a food guy, so he does a lot of food reviews on different restaurants down there that either I have been to or I want to go to now. It's a fun podcast. I mean, it's, you know, those are two that I recommend for people. You know, if you enjoy horror, you enjoy Disney, check them out. I mean, they're fun.
All right, so with that, this has been the Infamous Podcast, best of, or I guess certified Infamous, the best of 2015.
Yeah, yeah. Give us some 5-star reviews.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great.
Check us out. Check our webpage out. There's an About Us. You can get in contact with us. Mm-hmm. Brian's on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm at Brian Tudor on Twitter and the Instagram.
I'm at Johnny Podorf. The Instagram, it's J. Michael Podorf. I post about the show every week, so,
you do.
You know.
I try and repost it.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping that I get the word out there and there's a lot of people that are, you know, spread the word on us. But yeah, 5-star reviews on iTunes definitely help. I mean, they help every podcast.
Yeah,
I mean, if you have favorite podcasts besides us, you know, help them out.
Give
us all those 5-star reviews.
Yeah. If you have any questions, we're theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Again, you can find that on theinfamouspodcast.com. Yeah, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, any podcatching app, you know, that's where we are. Anyway.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Before we cut off, it's like, you know, have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, if that's what you celebrate, whatever your holidays
are.
Whatever
it is, watch Die Hard tonight.
Yeah.
Great tradition to have.
Yeah. I'll probably be watching It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, we'll do that.
I'm to that point where I've progressed, and I've been posting it on my Facebook, like, every time I get the screenshot of the opening of the movie, so.
We'll do Die Hard and Love Actually tonight, and then.
I've done Love Actually twice already this month, so.
I still always expect.
I did White Christmas twice, and I haven't done that in a long time.
Wow.
I like that movie, too.
A lot of sign in front of the zombies, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Will.
They did
mercy.
That. You don't watch The Talking Dead.
No.
When he was on there, they had people over the video cast, and somebody did that to him, and it was great because he you know, he got it, and a lot of people got it, and
well,
it was
I have
like
a Rick action figure.
Yes,
and I need to
just
make
do that,
like, a gif of that. So.
That would be awesome.
Anyway,
well, yeah, everybody, have a Merry Christmas. You know, we'll be back next week with the looking forward to.
Yeah, what's
you know,
coming?
I probably will have more than Brian.
Yeah, there's like 3 or 4 movies right now that I'm really excited to see. Other than that, there's a few comics coming out.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's announced anything really big, so, you know, yeah, TV.
We'll see. It's not really the right time of year for that.
TV might be more looking forward to what's coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously we'll have some other stuff, but yeah.
All right.
Everybody have a good one.
Yep. Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Later.
Bye.